Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Monday, we hit a milestone. I guess, you know, we love to pump up our chest and say we're number one. This isn't something that I'm proud of. 600,000 people have lost their lives because of COVID-19. And again, I go back to the former guy's response. I blame a lot of it on us just not doing the right thing right from the start. And, you know, just the other day, I just had this conversation today. Just the other day, we still had some nitwit fighting over a mask, shot a cashier because she had the audacity to say, I don't want to get sick and I don't want to die. How nuts are we? Because I'm not going to put a mask on. Freaking nuts. And this isn't new, but it's who we've become. But here to share some thoughts on, well, it's my view, if you're not going to take it, anti-vaxxer, maybe we should help the people around the world so that they don't surpass us and become number one. I've asked Kiefer Buckingham to come talk with us. Kiefer is a senior policy advisor there at the Open Society Foundations. Their website, if you want to check out the work that they do, is dataforprogress.org. We'll get links out on social media on how you can check out her work. Kiefer, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks so much for having me, Rick.
So this is not a milestone. This is not a number one. This is not something that pump the chest out and be happy about. This is a horrible failure of leadership. I put it all on the feet of the last administration, but this is a horrible failure day.
Right. I mean, it didn't have to be this way. I mean, that's the real, and you said it, Rick, and you're right. You know, if we had had real leadership from the very beginning, lives would have been saved. And that's not a red, blue, Republican, Democrat thing. That's actually science, right? We know that the key interventions that have saved lives include wearing masks, social distancing, things like that. And when we had real leadership finally step in and put that into place, or state leaders who felt they could do it without getting in trouble, right, by Trump and others, we know that that saved lives. And we also know that because deaths have really dropped off in the U.S., that vaccines is what's saving lives. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because what also happened, you mentioned the really grim milestone that we just met, around 600,000 deaths here in the U.S., but we also hit a huge milestone globally last week. And that is, in just the 6 months of 2021, we exceeded the total number of COVID deaths globally for 2020. That is bonkers, right? I think in the U.S., we're in this moment where we're like, I'm hanging out with my friends. We're getting out of this. I'm vaccinated, no mask. But the reality globally is way different. So yeah, we have hit 1.88 million deaths in just 6 months of 2021 compared, and that's more than all of last year. I think that is, like, we need to let that sink in, right?
No, and the thing is, to me, is, you know, you're right. We're coming out of this. Everybody I know is, hey, thank goodness I'm vaccinated. Life's getting back to normal. You know, in fact, you know, next Saturday I'm going axe throwing. We're starting to do things again. But, you know, I'm looking at a place like India, where I just read a story that some weird fungus is now coming up because of the whatever drugs they're getting to help people beat COVID is now suppressing their immune system or something, that's causing this next wave of who knows what this disease is going to be. And I'm going, you know, how soon till that gets here? How soon? Because we're a small planet, like it or not. I wouldn't want to walk around it. But, you know, when a virus strikes, we're a fairly small planet. Eventually, how long does it take to get here?
Right. I mean, really, we're pretty tiny. And the thing about viruses is they don't care about borders. They don't care about party affiliation. They don't care about religious affiliation, right? Virus's sole goal is to find a host, right? Replicate and also evolve. And that's what we're seeing the virus do. And that's also what's very concerning. You've heard about these variants, right? And now they're naming them Alpha, Beta. And just last week, Tony Fauci, President Biden both talked about this Delta variant. And that is really kind of, you know, as a public health person, that's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night, right? Because the biggest tool that we have to fight against this variant, which we're seeing is dominant in India, it is becoming more dominant here in the United States, rapidly so, that our only tool right now to beat that is the vaccine. And the reality is that while we're like doing amazing work, thanks to, frankly, this leadership, right, of this administration and the scientists, by the way, for the last couple of years, let's give credit where credit's due, right? Like, you know, there are people who have been working for decades on this technology have, you know, were the ones that helped speed this along, actually under the Trump administration, right? So that this administration could actually get it out there. We're getting really close to, like, you know, over 65, 66, you know, the president would like to see us get to 70% by July 4th. But we're just not there globally. And right. I think, and maybe you've heard this, maybe your listeners have heard this, we say this thing that is, again, not just a talking point, it's actually science, is we're not safe until we're all safe.
Right.
And that's why the vaccine equity thing is so important, because it's not just like because it's the right thing to do, but it's because these viruses mutate, it's a national security thing, right? It's like, you know, we're enjoying our freedom right now from the virus, but we could lose that. That's fragile if we don't address the virus where it is globally. So that's also a key part, and you kind of alluded to that.
No, it's a huge part that we should be vaccinating the world. It's incredible to me that we haven't done it already, and that we are still, you know, I go back to the polio vaccine. I don't remember Jonas Salk going, you know what, I need a couple extra bucks. I got shareholders to worry about. You know, for me, this should be one of those moments where, as a globe, if we're going to get past this, everybody has to get it. So the profit motive, you know, get that out of it. Let's start making this stuff wherever we can. You got a trailer in India somewhere that can cook this stuff up, like, you know, a meth lab here in Pennsylvania. Let's do it. Let's get people getting this stuff done so that we can really get by this. It's insane to me that we still attach a profit motive to the thing that could save humanity.
Yeah, I mean, our colleagues at Oxfam have done some pretty good number crunching, and it's kind of terrifying, but to be honest with you, not terribly surprising, right? But that just in the last year alone, these big pharmaceutical companies who developed these vaccines have distributed almost $30 billion in shareholder profits out to, you know, their shareholders and stuff. That's the same amount of money that we could use to help vaccinate the world. And we also know that at least 9 new billionaires have been created just because of the COVID vaccine development effort. So that sits at this sort of, you know, very difficult, stark reality where the world's richest countries have received over half of the total vaccine supply, and the world's poorest countries have received less than half of a percentage of the world's vaccine supply. Jeez. And the rich keep getting richer, and the pharmaceutical companies, right? Like, and so that's why we have to do something. I mean,
I gotta know who the 9 billionaires are, because I always say behind every billionaire, there's a great crime. These 9 would have, I think, the greatest crime. You know, because look, potentially we could lose another million people just so these 9 billionaires can have more. It's crazy to me. And here's my other problem. The vaccine was created mostly because government funded it, funded the research. We handed out billions of dollars. You got Donald Trump running around saying he's the godfather of the vaccine, even though the people who supported him won't get the vaccine, which is weird to me. But that aside, they spent a lot of money to get to it. Isn't it ours? Shouldn't we have it to go, you know what? We're giving it away.
Okay, listen. Rick, I'm from Tennessee, okay? It was an American taxpayer plus a generous contribution from Dolly Parton that helped create the NIH Moderna vaccine, right? Like that, we own this. Let's be real.
Thank you, Dolly.
You know, Moderna was thank you, Dolly Parton, which we should always say. But I'm a Tennessean, okay? I'm a little bit biased.
My grandfather was a big fan.
Okay, good. All right. So we're good then. But, you know, listen, Moderna was like a startup company, right? Before NIH came along, I was like, okay, you know, let's do this. And the work itself, right, it was in some ways in collaboration, but the work for decades has been done by NIH scientists. And like the vast majority of the financing was all taxpayer money. So me and you paid for this already, Rick. So shouldn't we also kind of have a say in who gets to benefit from it? You know, this new research that we just put out that I was really excited about last week, the whole, you know, what we wanted to know is what do Americans think about the U.S. in our role in vaccinating the world? I mean, because there's this whole argument that, well, we got to take care of Americans. Yes, that's true. But what, based on what I just said about variants, we got to be able to walk and chew gum, right? We got to be able to take care of here at home and also work globally. So we sort of went to folks in your home in Pennsylvania, and we said, what do you guys think about this? And one of the comments that we actually got, and I think you said this earlier, but a woman who voted for Trump in 2016, voted for Biden in 2020, and her quote was, look, everyone has the opportunity here in the United States. Whether or not you want to get a vaccine is on you. But shouldn't we not let another person die? Like, if we can prevent another death by getting this vaccine out globally, I want to do that. So we have said that the Biden administration needs to take action on this, and not just action, but like bold leadership.
No, I'm with you.
Right?
No, because, but my mindset has always been, Kiefer, it's kind of like when you're on the airplane. When the airplane, the oxygen level goes down, you put the mask on first. You take care of yourself first. You got to do that. So, because if you can't take care of yourself, you can't help anybody else. We're now moving to the phase where we're coming out of this. We should be full speed ahead, you know, Mach 7, whatever we're going to use, getting the rest of the world vaccinated, getting this stuff out for a couple reasons. One, obviously, it's absolutely the right thing to do. It speaks to our values. It speaks to who we are. It speaks to our ability to help the world. But then you can get into some of the other stuff. Like, you know, geopolitically, this is the kind of stuff that we should be doing because China's trying it too. This is a race kind of thing. I would much rather be vaccinating Africa and other parts of the world so that they, you know, they appreciate us more than the Chinese, because ultimately this is a global geopolitical situation as well. Our inaction puts us further behind. At least that's my thought. I'd love to hear yours.
No, I totally agree. I mean, I'm a public health person. I'm a human rights person. So I'm going to lead with it's the right thing to do. But even if that's not the thing that gets you to the table on this, and the national security thing, like, or the global health, what we call global health security, which is that those variants can come back to bite us, then maybe the national security argument is a good one for you, which is Moscow and Beijing aren't giving away or doing bilateral deals on vaccine dose sharing just out of good faith. That's out of the good of their hearts, right? There's always something they want back. And from an American perspective, to your point and the point we made earlier, these are American vaccines. These are vaccines from the American people. And guess what? Not only are they from the American people, they're kind of the best ones out there. Some of the data that we have on these mRNA vaccines and their ability to not only defeat these variants, but to be quickly kind of modified to deal with variants, like if folks need booster shots later on, these are the best vehicle for that to happen. And we want them to get around the world. But the problem is that most of the kind of things that the US government and other countries have done thus far are just tiny, tiny drops in the bucket. Yeah. You know, we need around 11 billion vaccines to sort of vaccinate around 70% of the world. Just last week at the G7, and a bunch of people have heard about this, and Friday and this weekend, the G7 countries pledged around 1 billion vaccines. And only some of those, and only some of those are going to come out this year. We're a little short, right? It's kind of embarrassing. And so what we're saying is not only should you share doses, which, by the way, a lot of these rich countries have hoarded vaccines, and they have many more than their people need. But we're also asking the U.S. government, because we own some of this patent technology on these vaccines, to share the know-how.
Right.
Because that's where the power shifts, right?
This is the TRIPS waiver that people are talking about.
Some of it's TRIPS waiver, and then some of it's also just sharing the technology. And, we could get into the weeds on this, but the main point is that when the next pandemic hits, and it's not a matter of if, but when, right? We're going to be right back in the same position where poorer countries are relying on rich countries and pharmaceutical companies to do the right thing, which historically they have not done. Right. And so what we also want to say is, like, countries should be able to produce their own vaccines for their people. And so shifting that power dynamic, I think, is really critical. I think will resonate with some of your listeners. Right. And the context we were just having about Buy America and making sure that, you know, we're sort of shifting power for American manufacturers. And, you know, it's an interesting thing to kind of think about, you know, putting those things together.
Yeah, but this is one of those things where the good of humanity a little bit bigger than borders, because as you've said a moment ago, these viruses don't know borders. And I tend to go with people only really act in their radical self-interest. Now, we can agree that it's the right thing to do. We can say it's good for humanity. You can even go to high moral values of, you know, it's the godly thing to do. But I believe people really only act in their own radical self-interest, which here is, did you really enjoy the last year and a half? And do you want to go back to it when the next extreme comes around?
Right.
Because if we don't kill this thing off, if we don't eradicate it at some point, it will grow bigger and stronger and come back in a different form. And look, I'm not a virologist. I'm a truck driver by trade. But I go back to something my doctor told me years ago when he threatened to beat me up. I was taking an antibiotic. I only finished about half of the thing. And he said, did you finish it? And I said, no, I felt better. And he called me everything but a decent human being. And
oh,
said,
yeah.
No, you have to finish it because, you know, and that's what he explained. You know, 6 months down the road, it's still in you. It's still growing. It's becoming resistant to the antibiotics that we have. And we may get to a point where we can't fight this stuff because stupid people like you don't take your medicine. And I've now learned. And
you learned your lesson.
Society, we take this moment and we now learn.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And if we don't learn from this lesson, right, we have been given in some ways a unique opportunity, a deadly one, a devastating one, where we can learn some of these lessons around preparedness. How do we better prepare for the next pandemic when it comes? And it's not going to be 100 years. It's not going to be 200 years, right? And so that's what we're really saying here is we can't do a little doses here, little doses there. We need a fundamental shift in how we think about vaccine, what we call vaccine equity, but really it's just about power dynamics, which as you know, have been been around. You know, we talked about colonialism. We talked about sort of the powers that be, if you will, continuing to sort of protect their own rather than looking at the global good. We see these vaccines as a global public good, to be owned.
We need a healthcare Marshall Plan. We need something that's big and bold and visionary, and the profit motive isn't there because, you know, look, I don't know if you're happy about the last year and a half, a lot of profit lost. Again, back to what I talk about radical self-interest. I do want to finish up on this idea that there are some here in this country who are, you know, still, you know, the vaccine, they're, you know, they've got the wildest ideas of, you know, they're trying to control us or, you know, we're going to be magnetic, which I think is my favorite, that 5G technology and vaccine equals Magneto Man. Don't walk by the knives. You know, like I said earlier, I'm kind of surprised that you have Trump saying he wants to be known as the godfather of the vaccine, and yet the people who are the most against it were his biggest supporters and are his biggest supporters. I'm curious, is there a point we get past that, or do we just write those people off at this moment?
Well, and as a public health expert, it's hard to see public health become political. And that's what we saw, right, over the last year. And it wasn't just, I mean, now we're here with vaccines, unfortunately, and, you know, vaccine hesitancy and things like that. But that's what happened to masks. And I'm like, wait, how did this become a political act about whether or not you were protecting yourself from? So that is also the way I kind of come at it and view with it. I mean, look, people, that's part of the American spirit, right? Like, we do what we want to do. Sure. Our goal as public health folks is to give them the tools and the information that they need. The problem is that folks get their information, right? From sources that are not credible, of course. Yeah. I mean, I have relatives who refuse to take the vaccine for a reason that I won't even repeat because actually
on YouTube,
right? Facebook, and I'm not even going to repeat it because that's like, I don't think, you know, it's not worth repeating. But the cool thing is that these vaccines are actually highly effective. And to be honest with you, to me, it's like a slap in the face of folks in other countries that are still locked down or are re-locking down. And here we are, like, you know, making these, you know, these excuses, like you said, and folks are dying and literally begging for vaccines,
right,
that we as Americans are saying, no, I'm good.
Yeah. And that we've got plentiful. So last question I've got for you. How do we move this forward? Because clearly, at least I hope our listeners are going, hey, It's in my radical self-interest to make sure that folks around the world get access to what I've had in my local community. How do we do that?
Right. I mean, the biggest thing is the president has put forward just last week announced 500 million doses, of which only about 200 million of those are going to be distributed this year. But what we're asking is for the president to do more, to actually take bold leadership. And that includes supporting, you mentioned the TRIPS waiver, which the administration has supported, but now it needs to be negotiated. So we need to bring other countries along with us. And that's what leadership looks like, right? The other thing is we need folks, we need the administration to support manufacturing capacity and what we call technology transfer, which is essentially sharing the recipe, not only the recipe, but how to make the thing. Right now, that looks like pressuring the White House and other countries to come along with us. You know, there's some bills that are going to be coming up in Congress. I would love for, you know, folks to stay tuned on that. It's an ever-moving thing, as you can imagine. It's always changing. But all we need is kind of bold leadership. And our paper that we put out last week, as I said, that highlights the broad support of the American public. Over 76% of folks, including Republicans and independents, support the U.S. bold leadership on global vaccines, and we need them to act on it.
I hope that happens. And as things pop up, I hope you'll come back, keep us up to date, and keep us informed on what you guys are doing and what the administration is doing. But I appreciate the time, Kiefer. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Rick. Have a great one.
Good stuff. Kiefer Buckingham, Senior Policy Advisor there at the Open Society Foundations. Make sure you check out their website, dataforprogress.org is their website. We'll get links out on how you can take a look at that. Quick break. Right back. Stick around.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.